Y'all see what I'm saying? God has equipped His body. Children of Israel, they're out there walking around. They're kicking the iron ore around. And that's the very same thing that God has put there and placed there. Now you see the importance of the smith. He's able to show the saint of God by the manifestation of the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God working through him as his mind is directed and his heart is directed into Scripture. Help us see. Man, we walked in beat down, we walk out going, man, I never knew I had a 45 on my side. We walk in, whoop, say, man, my pistol's about worn out. And we go, man, I never know how to sling full of grenades. That'll be a fun week. And this maturing, this perfecting, this going forward, it's understanding by seeing ourselves in Christ and learning all that we have in Him. It's an amazing thing. Sanctification in Christ. Justification in Christ. Election in Christ. Everything in Christ. When we begin to see that, man, I'm telling you what, we leave here and fill the Spirit of God. Christ is high and lifted up. And when He's high and lifted up, you know what He does? He draws all men to Himself. Isn't that an amazing thing? Can I tell you that real quick? Man, the Lord has shown me that. I want you to see. Look, it says this. It says, from which the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. The body, in other words, everything that God has placed in you as a child of God, as a born-again believer, God has placed, by His grace, giftings inside of you. I spoke about it a little bit about it last night. Those giftings is what compacts us together. Every joint supplieth. And those joints that supply something, that's what holds the body together. Are y'all with me? So now then, if a member of the body is not present, then the rest of the body is suffering. If one member of the body is not putting in his giftings, is not putting in what God has placed on the inside of him to give, to supply, the rest of the body suffers. Can I give you a quick example? Let's say that I'm walking and I trip and I scrape my knee. On a normal situation, my hands come to the aid. My fingers are involved. My wrist, my elbows, my shoulders, my back, my other leg is involved. I'm going to bring aid to this. There's pain here. And so I'm going to help this part of the body. Okay? There's a lot of things involved in helping this little scraped knee. Now, let's say that I don't have any hands. I trip and I scrape my knee. I'm not able to. The body suffers. Because, are y'all hearing me on this? Oftentimes, it's those members of the body that have, I don't know, but in some way, somehow they've suffered something. They have struggled in something, and maybe they've fallen by the wayside. You know what the common remark that I hear people say regarding someone like this? They say, this is what they say. I saw it coming. Should have known better. And the whole time they don't realize the damage they're causing themselves, the rest of the body. When we see a brother in need, when we see a sister that is fallen or that is in a need of help, what does the Bible tell us to do? Galatians chapter number 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. In other words, we're telling on ourselves how mature in the spirit we are by not going to them. You know why? Because it says that if we are spiritual, if we are in tune with the Lord, that we will go to Him. Which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Isn't that an amazing thing? For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Isn't that an amazing thing that God has put us in the family to love one another, to help one another? And so when somebody is overtaken, when someone is down, when someone has hurt, instead of going over and kicking on them while they're down, why not go to them and say, man, what can we do to help you? What can we? We'll get through this thing together. And surround them. Help them. Go to them. That is an aid to the body of Christ. Man, can you imagine? That body, man, I mean, they come forward. What power? What a display of the grace of God. Portrayal, fulfillment of the law of Christ. Amazing thing. What does that mean, preacher? That means when I was down, Christ didn't have to come to me. When I was in my sin and in my degradation and my depravity, Christ did not owe me one opportunity. But out of mercy and love, He come to me. The old song, He come to me, those songs. So what a blessing it is tonight to move on into perfection. To move forward into the love of Christ. Experience the fullness of Christ. He filleth all in all. God has set Christ far above all things. He hath put all things under His feet. We are the body of Christ. The feet are part of the body. Amen? And so all things that are under the Lord's feet, they're also already under our feet. So whatever you're fighting against, whatever you're struggling against, whatever you're failing against tonight, you have already won the battle. Before you even lift one finger to fight, you're fighting a battle where you already have the victory in Christ. So now then, we don't fight in our strength, but according to His might. That is the Ephesians is an amazing thing. It's an amazing book. It is the guidebook, the handbook of the soldier. The Scripture says this. It says, finally, brethren, be ye strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What the premise for all my armor that I wear? What is the centrifugal fusion of everything that I put on to fight the spiritual battles? It is in Jesus Christ. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Every one of those things that we wrestle against, according to the end of chapter 1, God has already put them under the feet of Christ. So if we can fight from our position, not from our circumstance, we will come out on the winning side. Amen? Now the Bible says this, and I'm through. In the book of Ezekiel, the Bible tells this prophet. He takes him by the hand and he brings him out. That's what the Bible says. He brings him out. And as he, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said, Son of man, can his bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. And he said, prophesy on the bones. And so Ezekiel prophesies to these bones. And I want you to understand now, in this dry valley, and I'm closing with this, in this dry valley, there are bones scattered everywhere. And it's not just a carcass. I'm talking the animals have come. There's arms over here. It's just scattered bones everywhere in this valley. The Bible says to Ezekiel, as he watches, as he speaks and prophesies to these bones, they begin to take on sinew, muscle, flesh. They begin to take on the bodily form again. What an amazing thing to behold. Bones coming together. Knee bone hooked to the hip bone. And it just kind of coming all together. Now there it was right before you. And then they was all lying down. And he said, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy to the Son of Man and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come the four from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, they may live. I want you to know tonight that when God made man, He put in him the breath, and man became a living soul. He didn't blow on man. That's far away. It was a breath. God got real close. Intimate with man. Now then, these bones are there and God has become intimate. He breathes upon these bodies. And the Bible says, and the breath came in them and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. That's an amazing thing to ponder. Here in the middle of this dry desert is this army. Some point and some time, this army was fighting a battle. And they lost the battle. They are here in this valley. And the Lord says to them, He says this, and shall put My Spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I am the Lord, and I've spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. So God wants to take these army and put them in their own land, Canaan land. In other words, when they was fighting this battle, they wasn't fighting it in the promised land. Y'all hear me tonight? The land that God promised them that flow with milk and honey, it typifies in the heart and life of a believer, the Spirit-filled life. A life where we are fighting battles. Canaan land's not heaven, okay? There are still battles in Canaan land. There'll be no more battles in heaven. And so what we find now is, but we're fighting according to the power of Jesus. He's the one leading the way. He's giving instruction to Joshua. He's the man with the sword drawn. And so when we fight in Canaan land, we're fighting in and under the umbrella of the promises of God in the Spirit-filled life, we come out victorious. But this battle scene has taken place outside the confines of Canaan land. In other words, they're fighting a losing battle. Anytime you try to fight against your circumstance, anytime you try to fight against what's going on in your life, whether it's a spiritual, because that's what it said. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers and principalities of the air. So we're fighting a spiritual fight outside the realms of the promises of God, outside the realms of the Spirit-filled life, outside the realms of the power of Christ, our position in Him. We're fighting a losing battle. What a blessing it is to know God has set it up in such a way, He has placed smiths in our life that can take raw material, form us a weapon, give it to us, and we can walk out of here swinging and fighting, knowing that we're positioned in Christ, knowing that God's in control, knowing that we're justified in Him, knowing that our sanctification is through Jesus, knowing that our election is sure. So what an amazing thing to ponder on when we think about equipping the saints of God. The weighty responsibility and then yet the grace that God enables the smiths to fabricate swords. Not every smith is the same. Some went to a school of metallurgy and can fashion a great sword. Some learned how to fashion a sword by watching Papaw hammer one out. And so they're able to go in and perform and make a good tool useful for the battle. So no matter whether you swing the hammer hard, smith, or whether you tap on it lightly, the end result is the same. You have put in the hands of God's people a weapon useful for battle.